So, Lord, we thank you and we bless you. We love you, Lord. Now we would ask, we'd humble ourselves and ask that you would speak to us through your word. We need your wisdom. We need your guidance, Lord. We need your direction for every aspect of our life, not just bits and pieces and some areas we handle and then the other areas we give to you, Lord. But we want you to take over all aspects of our life. And teach us through your word how we can surrender, how we can be humble, Lord, how we can love, Lord, and how we can forgive and how we can give and how we can walk and live a victorious Christian life, Lord. Teach us through your word. We open our hearts and minds to receive from you now. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we're finishing up or continuing the message on Is God Enough, as we're navigating through, just a couple of things, a couple of reminders, a couple of notes I want you to highlight, should have in your notes. And the first one is that we've established that the whole world is a wilderness. We're navigating through on your job. It's a symbol of the wilderness. The culture is the wilderness, just like they were traveling through an actual wilderness. Ours is more figuratively a wilderness, but we're still traveling through. We still have the same issues and the same distractions, the same temptations that they had that prevented them from getting into the promised land. For us, it prevents us from living a complete, victorious Christian life in Christ. So we have to navigate and we have to stay focused. As we go through the wilderness, we determine that in the wilderness, there is a narrow road, and everyone is not on it, but there's a narrow road that leads to life, an abundant life in Christ, and then there's a broad road that leads to destruction as we go through the wilderness. We've also determined that two ways you can live. So it's two roads as you go through the wilderness. It's two ways that you can live as we go through the wilderness. You can live in the spirit or you can live in the flesh as you go through the wilderness. Amen. It's a tug of war. You're going to live in the spirit or you're going to live in the flesh. We had a tug of war last night, depending on what I'm going to do. Am I going to stay home? Am I going to get myself prepared for church? And then you wake up. Whatever happened last night, obviously you're here. So you won the battle last night and this morning. Because the flesh says you want to sleep, football season is starting, you can catch some games, go to a friend's house, you can do all that. And the spirit says, no, you need to get to church. You can do all that stuff later. You need to get your word. You need to get some fellowship. You need to see that there are some like-minded people like you that's trying to live victoriously as well. So you got the battle. It's always the flesh and the spirit, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later. So in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul talks about 10:1. He talks about the history. Our history is different than the world's history. And talk about that a little bit more, too. And then verse 4, Christ was with them in the wilderness. Then we got into verse 5, and it says, with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown. They were killed in the wilderness. Verse 6, now these were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things. That was the first thing that they were doing. They were evil, they were greedy, they were selfish in the wilderness, which took us over to Galatians 5. So let's go to Galatians 5, and then we talked about the specific things, and we're going to go back over that as well, the specific things that they did while they were in the wilderness. Galatians 5. Started at verse 16. Paul said, this I say then, walk in the spirit and you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And they're contrary, they're opposites the one to another, so that we cannot do the things that we would. But if you're led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. But if you allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead you, then you're not living according to the flesh. Then it was the works of the flesh. We talked about the fruit of the Spirit. Then we got into chapter 6 and God's not mocked. What did I say about that? Oh, yeah. Whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. Whatever you plant, that's what you're going to get back. Said you can't plant hate and expect to grow love. You can't plant suspicion and expect to get trust. You can't plant foolishness and expect to grow wisdom. You can't plant lies and expect the truth to grow. So then let's pick up the conversation. Let me go back to the historical part. And this is a note I want you to make with the historical part. When you're in the wilderness, if you don't understand your history in Christ, then you'll get caught up in all the distractions. Our history is not the same as the world's history. It's different. Paul's going to show us that. All right. So, Dominique, let's go to Galatians 6 and 13. Let's start there. So let me say that again. Family, your history now, it identifies with God because you are a new creature, a new creation in Christ. So since you're new, your history's new. Okay. All right. Because that old history once it's motivated through selfishness and pride, which comes from Satan, to make you think you need to be something because you're from somewhere, or you did something, or you know something, and that's God says I don't operate that way. All right, let me show what I'm talking about. Verse 13. For neither they themselves who were circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. All right, so Paul is saying, here's the Jewish leaders are saying that you need to do something to be saved. That you have to earn God's salvation. That it comes through your flesh. That some kind of way you saved yourself. Paul said, that's not it. That's not your history. Didn't save yourself. Okay? And he's trying to tell them that they can't even keep it. They're trying to get you to do something that they can't even do. But it's motivated through the flesh. Verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. Underline that. The only thing that we brag and boast about in our new history is cross, is Christ and Christ crucified. It's the only thing you should be bragging about. Not where you're from, where you were born, where your country, your race, your culture. None of that matters. That's all old history. That's gone. As a Christian, that's gone. Because it says that you're something because of where you were born. No, you're something because of what Christ did for you. Yes. And that's it. Not because you were circumcised or you weren't, or because you helped the old lady across the street. Not because of anything that you've done, but it's because of Christ and Christ crucified. Paul said, that's the only thing that I'm going to glory in. That's the only thing I'm going to brag about. Not because you have 20 degrees and you have a doctorate degree and you have initials behind your name. That's foolishness to God. That didn't save you. It's not going to save you. Not because you grew up in Long Beach or L.A. or Compton or Watts. That's not going to say it doesn't transfer. You're not going to stand before God and say, I'm from Compton. What's up? I should be saved. Yeah, that's kind of true. Just because I'm from Compton, I should be saved. Yeah, you're right. Come on. Come on in. Yeah, come on. Hey, guy, it's not going to work. It doesn't transfer. It's not going to happen like that. Paul said the only thing. Look, why? Why? Look at verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Nothing else matters because why? You're a new creation. So your color, your language, your race, your job, your business, your kids, where you're born, where you're from. It doesn't matter. You're a new creation. But we don't live like a new creation. And we don't understand that. So we're going through the wilderness and we think we're still old. Okay? O-L-D. Okay? So I'm going through the wilderness, and I think I'm old. So somebody say something to me, and I say, what you looking at? And I tell them, where you from? And you don't know me. And have an attitude with them. Or I look down on them because I live here and they live there. Or because I have this and they don't have that. Or I envy them because they have something that I want. Because that's the old person. God says, that's not your history. God says, you're a new creation, you're a new creature, and your history is Christ and Christ crucified. Let them know that so they can get saved, so they don't have to go to hell. That's what this thing is about now. So we're traveling through the wilderness, and if you don't understand you're a new creation in the wilderness, then you'll get comfortable in your dysfunction like the children of Israel, and you'll die in the wilderness and never experience the complete life in Christ that God had for you. And that's the sad commentary. That I'm going, supposedly as a new creation, I'm going through the wilderness acting like my old self, and I'm going to die there in my dysfunction because I don't understand my history is not the world's satanically influenced history. My history is new, and it's Christ and Christ crucified, which did for me, which I couldn't do for myself, and saved me from death, hell, sin, and the grave. You got to understand that. Again, we walk out these doors and the old history is going to try and attach itself to you. And it comes through people and places and things. And you got to understand you're a new creation walking through the wilderness. All right, so let's break it down. Sister Kathy, guess what I got? I got to read this. Yes, I do. The flesh comes from a man-made religion. Where man has to be involved in his salvation. You got to get circumcised, otherwise you're not going to be. You got to do something. You got to live right. You got to. No. You accept a free gift from God, then you should be living right, but you don't try and work your way to salvation. That's the old you. That I have to do this and I have to do that. And what does it lead to when we get ourselves into our old self? Arguments, pride, and it has to ego and exclusivity where I'm this because I did that, and you can't you can't live where I live. You don't have as many degrees as I have. You can't work with your hands like I do. You can't have any kids. I have three kids. I hate them all, but I have three. And you don't have any. I don't take care of any of them, but you don't have any. Or you have kids and I don't have kids, and I'm free to roam around the world and do what I want to do, and you have to stay in and lock. It's all about the arguments and the ego and the flesh that owed you. All right, let me read what I've written. All right. Paul is saying, thank you, Sister Kathy. Paul is saying, my history has nothing to do with the flesh. My history has been transferred to identify with the cross and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ only. My history is transferred now. The only thing I identify with is the cross and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ only. We were talking Wednesday night about when people try and throw that satanic sign on you. I ain't gonna even get a show of hands. I ain't messing with y'all this morning. I ain't gonna do it. But your sign, we were talking about, and the sign is the empty tomb. Well, I thought that was gonna be the sign, the ET. What sign are you? I'm the ET, the empty tomb. But then Sister Hazel in Bible study gonna tell me that Dracula was in it, rose from an empty tomb. Y'all should come to Bible study just for those conversations alone. Okay? So, okay, we don't want to get that confused. So, hey, man, what's your sign? Well, it's the RS, the resurrected Savior. Or the CC, Christ crucified. Yeah, be weird. It's time to be weird, family, because everybody else is being weird and they don't care. What sign are you? My sign is CC. CC, yeah, the Christ and Christ crucified. Okay? How's that, Sister Hayes? That's a little bit better? That's much better than the empty tomb. I'd like to bite your neck. Just for that alone, you need to come to Bible study. It's to help me out. Make a note. The old history, we was, oh yeah, I'm into the stars. And no. I'm into Christ and Christ. I'm the CCM, Christ and Christ crucified. Ooh, that's weird. I love it, though. It's the only thing that saves you and me. Now I'm finished reading, Sister Kathy. I'm going to continue reading. This is our history as Christians and believers. We can only brag about the cross of Jesus Christ, not your race, not your culture, not your degrees, not your education, your job, your money, your 401k, your investments, your church, your house, your car, your job, or anything that this world has to offer. Make a note. Remember, the best the world can do, and I call it a mirage, the wilderness, the best it can do, the best it can offer us is exclusive access to temporary stuff. That's the best the world can do. You got exclusive access. You get a backstage pass, but it's all temporary. Because at some point the concert's over, you done shook hands with all the stars and all that, and then you go home. But you did have exclusive access to temporary stuff. But I wouldn't base my life on exclusive access to temporary stuff. That's the best the world can do. I don't care how much money you got. All you can do. Okay, I got to fly coach or I got to catch the Greyhound. You fly first class. You might get there a little bit sooner than me, but eventually I'll get there. So you had exclusive access to temporary stuff. And then you die. And if you think that's going to transfer, it doesn't. Christ and Christ crucified only. The stuff doesn't transfer. And family, I know it's hard to stay focused in a world that offers so many distractions. To our youth, to our young adults, to those of us that are not so young. Flesh is going to tell you to do one thing. Spirit's going to tell you to do another. And we're all going to be challenged with that when we leave. When we walk out these doors. So, Pastor, how do I know if I'm operating in the flesh or in the spirit? I'm glad you asked. All right. So here we go. You can tell when you're operating in the flesh because it makes your flesh feel bold or empowered. Make a note of this. The flesh is motivated by pride and is displayed through, as Brother Roy and I, we were talking yesterday, greed and envy and ego. Your flesh is motivated by pride, so you know whether you're operating according to the spirit or the flesh because it's motivated by pride and is displayed through greed, envy, and ego. Well, Pastor, okay, let me make it even plainer. For example, you follow your spouse into the other room and you say, "Let me tell you one more thing." Oh, you strayed into the flesh. Notice I said spouse. I didn't say husband. Because sometimes it's the husband going, you know, I need to tell you one more thing. And sometimes it's the wife saying, wait a minute, you're not going to get away with that. But when you start right there, just know that you're in the flesh right away. You embarrass your kids in front of their friends and then you tell yourself, that'll teach them a lesson. You straight in the flesh. You gossip about your boss or your employees or your church member, and you smile because you think you're exposing them, but on the contrary, you're really exposing yourself and your flesh. You flip the coin and you know you're in the spirit because it's motivated by love and compassion and peace and servanthood and humility and gentleness, discipline, self-control, unity. The outcome will glorify God. So how do I know if I'm operating in the spirit or the flesh? One is going to make your flesh feel good. The other is going to glorify God. How do you operate in the spirit? You learn to pray before you speak so God and His Holy Spirit can tell you what to say. We're talking about this in the men's meeting this morning. Pray before you speak. And then and when you talk to someone else, whether it's your employee, your employer, your boss, your spouse, your kids, the Holy Spirit, through the wisdom of God. That's why we're reading the Proverbs each morning, to get the wisdom of God, so now I know what to say. You think about the consequences before you do or say anything. That's how you know you're operating according to the Spirit. You think about what's going to happen before you get somewhere, not after you go there. Remember, there's two at war, the flesh. Think about this. The flesh says, I need to give them a piece of my mind. The spirit said, God will handle it. Renew your mind. Let me say that again. The flesh says, I need to give them a piece of my mind. Spirit says, God will handle it. Renew your mind and operate according to the spirit. Forgive them and let it go. So the revelation is that the distractions don't transfer. They don't transfer to the afterlife. They don't impress God. The distractions don't impress God. Look at what Paul says. Verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be unto them. Mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. Don't talk to me anymore about this foolishness, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. My identity is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Paul already told us that we're new creations. We're new. The old is gone. And he says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Underline that. Be with you as you walk in the Holy Spirit. The grace is with you when you're walking in the Holy Spirit. Oh, and I put grace. What was grace? I put an acronym for grace. God's Redeemer, accused, crucified, and exalted. G-R-A-C-E, God's Redeemer, accused, crucified, and exalted. And when you're walking in the Spirit, the grace of God is with you. It's about the grace of God. Now let the grace of God be with you as you walk in the Spirit. And then Paul says, amen. Make a note, family, we are a new creation. It's easier said than done, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So you got to understand that why this is our standard, because we're in the middle of the wilderness. All right. So let's go back and take a peek in the wilderness. Let's spend a few minutes in the wilderness. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 7. Because if you don't understand this, you will get distracted in the wilderness just like they did. I'm just going to spend a few minutes here and then we'll pick up the rest next week. So the first thing that kept them in the wilderness, think about this. We have already established that it's an 11-day trip that took them 40 years. What were they doing for 40 years? So verse 6 told us that they were lusting after evil things. Verse 7 says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. All they did was got into themselves, forgot what God had for them, eat, drink, and play, and worship all kind of ungodly stuff. They worship idols, people, places, and things every day while they were in the wilderness. Family, so think about it. We got brands, we got logos, we got politics, we got political parties, companies, movie stars, movies, sports, teams, TV shows, music, church, pastors, singers, rappers. We idolize everything but God. Man, we'll make an idol out of anything. But while we're in the, this is what they were doing in the wilderness. Look at America, look at the parallel. Doing the same thing. And I'm not saying you can't appreciate things. I'm just saying when it takes the place of God like they did, that's a problem. And only you know where your heart is at. Only you know what you're passionate about. Only you know how much time you spend on social media. Only you know that you'll get up and spend an hour on social media, then run out of the house and didn't open your Bible, didn't pray, didn't worship, didn't do anything. Then you can't tell me that God takes precedence over social media because you spent more time on social media than God. You cut on the TV, the radio, you watch all that, you spend no time with God, you didn't pray, and then you run out of the house and you tell me God's first. I beg to differ. Oh, I don't have any idols. God is number one, but you spent time with everything but God. And so then, family, in any healthy relationship, let me say that again, in any healthy relationship, there's a measure of quality time that has to be spent. It is. You just can't say, well, you know, my wife's my best friend. How much time is none? She's just my best friend. What's her favorite color? One of those colors. I know it's a primary color. What's her favorite place to go and eat? Well, you know, wherever she wants to. That's your best friend. Yeah, man. Praise the Lord. About your kids, you don't spend any time with them, but you love them. I guess that's how it works. I don't know. I love God. How much time you spend with him? Oh, he knows my heart. I know he knows that thing is wicked. Desperately wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? You don't even know it. Well, you build all these idols and then I'm telling you folks, but listen, what were they doing for 40 years? This is what they were doing. Okay, let's quickly look at Exodus 32. This is them in the wilderness. 32 verse 1. What were they doing? Let's peek into the wilderness. Let's go back. What do you call that in the movie when you go back before it actually happened? Flashback or the prequel. I'm going to get technical on y'all. Okay. Brother Roy, you should have knew that. So let's go back to the prequel. But look at, before I get into verse 32, look at, Dominique, take us to 31:18, the last verse in chapter 31. This is God. And we're studying this on Wednesday night. So this is just, I mean, this is, I'm so excited about this. I mean, it's just incredible. And it says, because Moses and them, they didn't get there, but Joshua and them, they're there. And then here we are. Are we going to get there? Or are we going to die in the wilderness? Are we going to have that complete life in Christ? Or are we going to die in the wilderness? Are we going to be a part of Moses' group? Or are we going to be a part of Joshua's group? God was with both groups, but both groups didn't get there. So here we are. But look at verse 18. I just thought this was beautiful. And he gave Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him, spending time, quality time, Moses and God on Mount Sinai. Two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. See, that's, people don't want to hear that. Well, who wrote the Bible? Well, the finger of God wrote it. God told man what to write, but it was written. It says it was written. Those Ten Commandments was written with the finger of God. So you smarter than the Bible. Huh? Well, man wrote the Bible. Yeah, you smarter than the Bible. Okay. The finger of God wrote it. You're going to be responsible for that because you're going to stand before God and you can't argue with the finger of God that wrote this word. So now let's peek into the wilderness. And when the people saw, so God is up. I mean, God is with Moses, Mount Sinai, they're talking. God is writing with his finger, giving him instructions about the Sabbath and everything else. And it takes a while. We talked about this with the men this morning. How much time do you give your situation before you take over? How much time do you give your situation? Well, you know what, God, I'm giving you to the end of the year to fix this relationship. And God is saying, well, I want to fix it in February. So in January, you doing your own thing. And God's saying, okay, keep doing your own thing. I was going to move in February, but I see you got it handled. So I'm going to let you deal with your mess. How much time do you give God, family? So look what happens when you don't give God enough time. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, make us a little god. which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we don't know what is going on with that dude. So make a note that your impatience leads to idol worship. Since God has taken too long, I got to replace God with something else. Family, don't be impatient. Let God work it out. Impatience leads to idol worship. Pride and selfishness leads to idol worship. Disrespecting Moses and God leads to idol worship. When you disrespect God and God's appointed leadership, you have to fill that void by worshiping a false god. Why? Family, because we were created to worship something. You're going to find something to worship. It could be yourself. It could be your own ideas. It could be anything. But when you get tired of waiting on God, you got to substitute God with something else. And that's idolatry. What were they doing in the wilderness? Substituting God for something else. Why did it take them 40 years when it should have took 11 days? Because they were substituting God with something else. And they wandered in their dysfunction until they died. What's going to keep you right where you are? Substituting God with something else. You've never reached the place that God has for you. Because you're impatient and you're prideful. You and I are impatient and prideful, and we'll die in that dysfunction. Look what they said. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, when you and I see that God has taken too long, and we can find somebody, gather themselves together. I can find somebody and say, hey, look, you know, I've been waiting on this. And she tripping. Oh, yeah, man, you should. You ought to do your own thing. You ought to turn your stones into bread. You can always find somebody to help you worship a false god. There's plenty of them out there. And create a false religion. How do all these false religions get started? Christians that were disappointed in waiting on God and waiting on the church leadership, so they started their own. You get Jehovah's Witness and Mormons, all of them come out of Christianity and got tired of waiting on God, so I'm going to create my own God. Do your research. So here, they did it right here. Make us up gods which we go before us. It's Moses, we don't know what's going on with this dude. Verse 2, and Aaron said unto them, wow, Aaron, really? Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives. So get your wives involved, get your sons involved, get your daughters involved. Bring them up to me. This is for those of us, I guess, anybody who's in a leadership position. Please be careful. Please be careful when people come to you and try and get you to create a false god or do something that's contrary to scripture. Aaron, what are you doing? I mean, Aaron didn't offer any resistance. At least offer some resistance, folks. Just don't. Okay, anyway. I think I'm more disappointed in Aaron than the people, because the people are going to do what they're going to do. Aaron walked with Moses. Aaron knew God was real. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings and get your kids involved, get your wives involved, your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. He received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. After he made it a molten calf, and they said, these be the gods of Israel. Are you kidding me? These be the gods of Israel which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Really? Make a note in verse 4. It takes effort. What did I write down? It takes effort. It takes time and effort to worship a false god. And you get so deep with the time and effort you put into the false god, you really do forget the real God. Evaluate who is worshiping. And don't do it because the crowd is doing it. Just, you have to establish your own relationship with Christ. All right, I'm getting ready to finish up because then we can unpack the rest of this next week. So here we go. And Aaron, and when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. What were they doing for 40 years? Here you go. This is what they were doing. What are we doing? We're building all types of altars, disguised as cars and social media and TV and teams and logos and brands and stars and music. And we create all types of false, and we bow down before them and we worship them, folks, in the wilderness. When Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." Let me stop right here. We'll pick it up next week. Don't you fool yourself, think that you're serving God, worshiping false idols. He's somebody's going to be a feast to the Lord. Are you kidding me? You're worshiping false idols. You're paying lip service to God, and you think that you're serving God. Don't fool yourself. What were they doing for 40 years? All right, verse 6, and I'm really finished. And they rose up early. You can do the right things and worship the wrong God. They got up early to worship the false God. But they won't get up early to spend time with the real God. You and I get up early to go to work. Now, I don't even know if I want to say this. Don't say it, honey. Well, I didn't put it out there. I got to say it. We'll get up early to worship at the altar of the Almighty Dollar. We'll come to church late and won't even worship the true and living God. Verse 6, and they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down. This is what Paul was quoting. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play to a false god in the middle of the wilderness. And they died right there in their dysfunction. So we got two things that they were doing. And this one, we're just getting started with this idol worship stuff because it's huge. They were lusting after evil things. They were the evil thing. And now they're building up altars to false gods. 40 years. What were they doing? These were two, and we'll pick it up here next week. Whew. Amen. I could do a whole weekend. We need to have a whole weekend retreat where we just go over this whole wilderness thing. But family, I can't tell you, the alarm is sounding, is how urgent it is. And just bow your heads just for a quick minute. I want you to truly hear this. This whole world is a wilderness. It's surrounded by spiritual warfare. We're not wrestling against each other, but spiritual wickedness in high places. Satan doesn't have to change the game because we fall for the same play every time. The same thing that kept them there is the same thing that's got the whole world in a big wilderness. Building false idols and thinking that we're truly worshiping God. God help us. God help us evaluate where we are. Paul, that's why Paul was so strict on the history. Your history is Christ and Christ crucified. That's the new. The old is everything that the world is doing. If you continue to do everything that the world is doing, you'll stay in the wilderness worshiping false idols. You will never get to the complete life in Christ that God has for you and I. God help us. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. Forgive us for being lazy and undisciplined. Forgive us for worshiping false idols. God, we can appreciate things without worshiping them. We can enjoy all the beauty. That's what you said. Enjoy everything that you've given us. We can enjoy all of it, God, without worshiping it. Forgive us when we've crossed the line and actually worship a person, a thing, a place. Forgive us, Lord. Let our hearts come back home to you so we can live a complete, victorious life in Christ. Share Christ and Christ crucified with others so they can break free from the wilderness. They can break free from the bondage of sin in the wilderness. They can break free from idol worship, thinking they're serving God. Lord, we need your help today. And we thank you. Maybe someone's here saying, Pastor, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. I've never invited Christ into my heart. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray for you. You don't have to guess if you're saved. The Bible is not a guessing game. God is not a guessing God. You can be sure. If you're not sure, elevate your hand. Maybe you hear and say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate my life because I'm so deep into the wilderness and idol worship is all around me. If you need to rededicate your life, that's between you and God. You don't need to raise your hand. You just need to lift your heart and connect to God's heart. God's word says if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Don't let the enemy condemn or shame you. Confess and forsake and keep moving forward. God is waiting for you just like he waited for the prodigal son with arms open wide. Don't get God confused with man. God will always take you. When you confess and forsake, man wants to condemn you. The enemy wants to condemn you. God loves you. And don't make yourself bigger than God. Stop condemning yourself. You couldn't earn it anyway. We already learned it's not about works. It's the grace of God. You can't work for it. You don't need to be circumcised. You need to connect your heart with God's heart. That's all you need to do. Join yourself to Christ, invite him in, ask for forgiveness, and keep moving forward. You're not greater than God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he'll lift you up at the right time. Don't elevate yourself above God. God's greater than you. That's why you don't have to condemn yourself, because God said, therefore no more condemnation. To them that walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. Maybe you hear say, Pastor, I've been visiting. I've never officially joined. I want to make it official today. If that's you, elevate your hand. We'd love to have you as part of the family. Lord, how we bless you and how we thank you. How we love you, Lord. God, we don't want to be the same. God, we want to do so much more. We don't want to live as status quo. We want to live the complete life that you have for us. Thank you for giving us revelation knowledge on the wilderness and how not to get caught in the wilderness. To live according to the Spirit. To stay on the narrow road. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. I wanted to ask Sister Carrie to come on up because I know you're starting a new job. And yeah, we know. I would say the Lord revealed that to me, but I'm not going to say that. Okay. How did Pastor Carter know I'm starting a new job? And I just want to have some of the ladies come up and just surround her. Just right here. Give me your hands, Carrie.
It was my mom.
Oh, your mom might have said something.
Yeah.
You know how mothers are. That's right. And we honor them anyway. But we are just so grateful, Sister Carrie, that you're starting a new job and God's healed your body and opened a door for you. And not only did Mom share it with us, but she came bearing gifts. for you starting your new job.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
All motivated by love and family. And we're so grateful that you're part of the church family here, and God connected us back at the worship center, and then we're hanging out at the gym.
Yes.
Invited you to church, and your family's here. And
praise God.
And God, we're just so thankful.
Thank you, Lord.
That we can cover you, Carrie, with prayer.
Yes.
And surround you as a family, as a body of believers. Just to say, God, go before her. Prepare the way, give her favor on that job.
Yes.
Open that door, give her strength for the work ahead, Lord. Send her there as an evangelist just to be a light. When she walks in, let that whole building light up with the love of Christ. Where she doesn't have to say anything, but they will know that it's something different. God, give her the mind, the spirit, the ability to do her job well. Give her the strength for the work ahead. And God, we're so grateful to have Carrie here, and Stanley and little Stanley, and Leah and Stephanie, just on this journey with us.
Yes.
Carrie, you don't have to, and you're not going alone. But you have the prayers of the saint.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Prayers of the saints propelling you into that job.
Yes.
Know that God has opened an effectual door for you. Someone there needs to know about Christ. Someone needs to be reminded in that lunchroom, in that break room, that there is a God in heaven.
Hallelujah.
There is a crucified Savior that resurrected on that third day. We thank you, Lord, and we bless you for Carrie and her family and Stephanie and all they've meant to this church. It's a privilege for us to cover and pray. Pray a blessing upon her life now, Lord. She walks with you tomorrow and starts that new job. May it be a new beginning for a lot, Lord. And all to your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Stand to your feet, family.